Decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods, ladies and gentlemen. I am your squirrel coming to you from the ARN studios, high atop the tallest tree in the Piney Woods. Just a couple of minutes late this morning, and I apologize for that. I've been up for a while, got everything all set up and ready to go, and then started looking at stuff and was not watching the clock, and I looked down and it's 32 after. So we're 2 minutes late starting Squirrel Chatter today, but that's okay. We never promised to be professional. We just promised to be here. So it's good to have you with us. Thanks for joining us on this Christmas Eve morning. Christmas Eve. Yeah, Christmas Day is tomorrow, and hope you're excited about that. We had a wonderful family get together last night. I was very disappointed. My choice for Christmas movie didn't even make the cut. We had six movies to choose from. Die Hard was not one of them. This was at my daughter and son-in-law's house. I'm very displeased with them, thinking about writing them out of the will, because Die Hard was not one of the Christmas movies we were able to choose from. I was not alone in this. My brother-in-law was also upset. He had planned to vote for Die Hard. So probably my nephews as well. I think my daughter didn't include it on the list because all of the guys would have said, yeah, Die Hard. And the girls wouldn't have been able to watch their chick flick Christmas movie that they wanted to watch. We ended up watching the Jim Carrey Grinch That Stole Christmas. It was fun, but honestly, it doesn't hold a candle to the old cartoon. I typically love Ron Howard. I love the movies he's done. He's a very talented director, but I think the live action Grinch That Stole Christmas kind of fell short. But that's just my opinion. It's a popular movie. It's what everybody wanted to watch, so that's what we sat and watched while drinking hot cocoa and eating popcorn. It was a fun time. I do believe that all of the family that lives in Missoula was there. We missed one of my nephew's girlfriends was not feeling well, so she did not come. But all three of my local nephews were there, and of course we were at my daughter and son-in-law's. My granddaughter was there. She was 6 months old. She went to bed before we actually started watching the movie. That's pretty normal for a six-month-old, I think. So we had a good time. My sister and brother-in-law were there, her three kids, my daughter, my son-in-law, two of the significant others of my three nephews were able to make it. We missed Liz not being there, but she was home not feeling good. So I suppose we have to be understanding. fun time. There's all sorts of fun pictures. Probably it was a matching pajama party, and my sister's daughter-in-law and then the daughter-in-law, future daughter-in-law, and youngest son's girlfriend had all gotten together and purchased matching pajamas for the eight of them, for my sister and brother-in-law, for the three nephews, and for their three significant others. They were all in matching pajamas, which was kind of funny. Mrs. Squirrel and I were in matching pajamas and big fuzzy slippers. It was a fun time just to get together and relax and enjoy a little bit of family time. I do want to remind you, speaking of families, Squirrel Chatter is part of the Christian Podcast Community family. And I encourage you to head on over to ChristianPodcastCommunity.com. Check out all the great curated podcasts over there. There's always something good that you can stick in your earbud to entertain and edify you and inform you of things you may not have thought about. Good podcasts, doctrinally sound. You can't go wrong listening to a podcast from the Christian podcast community. So if you're looking for something to listen to, go ahead and head on over there. Check out a show you haven't listened to. Like I said, I'm slowly working my way through all the podcasts because it's a fairly large community, and I'm trying to listen to everybody. I'm not going to be able to listen to everybody every day or every week, but I'm enjoying listening to everybody because it's good stuff. So I'm trying to get to know the other shows over there. Squirrel Chatter is over there. There's all sorts of things that you can tune into and listen to. Now, it is Friday, and that means it's the weekend, and that means church is on Sunday. So as you look at your weekend plans, and I know everybody's plans are busy because of Christmas, go to church. Why would you miss church on Christmas weekend? What are you celebrating? Go to church. Gather with the saints of God and worship Christ together as we celebrate his birth. And don't miss church. And at the same time, don't be a CEO Christian either, Christmas and Easter only. Go to church every weekend and worship with the saints. Get involved in a good biblical church and don't just attend, get involved. Find something there to do. Whether it's, just attending classes. Get it, don't just go to the good church is going to have classes apart from the Sunday morning worship service. Attend those classes when you can. Learn something. The Bible tells us to make disciples and teach them to observe all that Christ commanded to his church. So a church, a solid church, is going to be a teaching church. And while I'm a fairly strong liturgical guy, as you know from my use of the Book of Common Prayer here on Squirrel Chatter, I like a liturgical service. So much, one of the big problems of having a liturgical church is the idea that it's all ceremony. And there is certainly ceremony involved in worship, but it's so much more than that. It is an educational experience. And so go and learn and get involved and share and love one another and admonish one another and encourage one another and get involved in a local church that teaches the Bible faithfully. Speaking of local churches, the church that we attend, Frenchtown Community Church, is having a Christmas Eve candlelight service tonight at 7 o'clock. So if you are in the area of the Piney Woods, if you're anywhere around Frenchtown, and you are looking for a Christmas Eve service, come join us. We'll happily fill the basement if there's extra people. We've got room, so do come. That's tonight at 7 o'clock. And like I said, go to church on Sunday. If your church has a Christmas morning service, go. We're not doing one at Frenchtown because we're meeting tonight, and then we're meeting again Sunday morning. So we're actually not having a service tomorrow, but a lot of churches are. And if your church is, make plans to attend. It would be a blessing to you. It would be a blessing to those who are taking the time to put together a special service for Christmas morning. Sip some coffee here. Yeah, so keep that in mind. And towards that end, there will be a special edition of Squirrel Chatter tomorrow at 9 a.m. for Christmas morning. So if you're not in church, then feel free to tune in and join me for a special Christmas episode, which I will be finalizing today as to what we're going to do and what we're going to talk about. And might be a little bit more formal of an episode than you're used to, but we'll see how it shapes together. I'm working on that. This is the fourth week in Advent, with this Sunday marking tomorrow marking the Nativity. So this is the last day in the Advent season before Christmas Day. So let us now look at the collect that is the collect for the fourth week in Advent. O Lord, raise up, we pray thee, thy power, and come among us, and with great might succor us, that whereas through our sins and wickedness we are sore let and hindered in running the race that is set before us, thy bountiful grace and mercy may speedily help and deliver us, through the satisfaction of thy Son, our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be honor and glory, world without end. Amen. So I was getting ready to wonder what I was going to talk about this morning. Just this morning, a news story caught my eye, and I had to share it with you, so I've got it here. It's a story about the American Civil Liberties Union urging parents to cancel Elf on the Shelf tradition immediately. The American Civil Liberties Union is recommending to parents that they ditch the annual Elf on a Shelf tradition because the legal org says it lends itself to normalization of big government surveillance state. Oh, boy. Now, apparently the whole Elf on the Shelf thing came about in 2005 as a result of a children's book that I have never read. The article says that this book involves a toy elf that takes messages back to Santa Claus at the North Pole. Families have since incorporated Elf on the Shelf as part of their holiday tradition. Parents tell their kids that the elf magically comes to life each night between Thanksgiving and Christmas to inform Santa whether children are behaving before returning to the home in a different spot in the house than the previous night. Kids are told not to touch the elf, or it loses its magic abilities. Now, at that point, I kind of draw the line because I don't believe we should be dishonest like that with our children. And while we might play games with them involving the Tooth Fairy or Santa Claus or anything like that around the holidays, the Easter Bunny leaving you a basket of goodies on Easter morning, we should always be clear with the children that these are games, that these are made-up stories. We don't want them, when we tell them the truth, to think this might be just another story. And so I'm not strong, and I remember when my daughter was young, I was telling her that Santa was real, and we actually did the Elf on the Shelf thing 30 years ago, long before this book came out, because I had a little toy elf, and I would move it around, and she would get all excited the next morning when she saw it was somewhere different in the house, I remember the joy, I remember the fun we had doing that, but I regret the dishonesty. And so I think, you know, we can teach our kids who St. Nicholas was and why he's associated with Christmas, and then we can play the Santa game just fine. And there's nothing wrong with having your kid's picture taken with Santa Claus every year to use on your Christmas cards or whatnot. And I don't mind, you know, watching movies about Santa Claus and, you know, the fun and, you know, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer or any of that is always kind of fun, as long as we keep it in that, you know, realm of fantasy, without, crossing the line into telling our children that it's real. But the article continues, but all of that amounts to some nefarious activity as far as the ACLU and other privacy and civil rights groups are concerned. They claim the elves are creepy, invasive, and even dangerous. And they are suggesting to parents that the toys should be left on store shelves. I don't want to sound like a Grinch, but we shouldn't be celebrating seasonal surveillance, Albert Fox Kahn of the Surveillance Technology Oversight Project told the New York Times. It's really a terrible message for kids. Now, let's be honest. Parents have used fantasy figures to manipulate their children into good behavior as far back as we remember. There are lots of pagan myths about, you know, boogeymen that will come and get you if you don't behave, that were told to children to instill in them good behavior. Probably not the best child-rearing methodology, but it's in just about every culture. They had some scary, you know, if you don't behave, they're going to come get you, or it's going to come get you. Boogeyman, monster under the bed, whatever it might be. The Baba Yaga of Eastern European myth, and there's, you know, elves and changelings and so all of this stuff, you know, if you be good, Santa's watching, he's making a list, checking it twice, gonna find out who's nutty or nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. So there is a bad message there for kids, but it is good to teach them that, you know, there is sin and sin has consequences and judgment is coming. And all of these myths are a distortion of actual biblical theology. It's better to teach them what the Bible says. Teach them early. Teach them, Deuteronomy 6, talk to them about these things as you rise up, as you lay down, as you come in, as you go out, as you go through life. Teach your children the things of God and the fact that there is sin and there is judgment coming, but there's a Savior who is available. And it's not disobeying their parents that they need to be afraid of as much as disobeying God. Although disobeying your parents is disobeying God, I believe that is one of the Ten Commandments. Another nice sip of San Francisco Bay French Roast Coffee from Costco in my O Come Let Us Adore Him mug, which I got at Hobby Lobby a couple of years ago. The Hobby Lobby up in Kalispell, and we're actually getting a Hobby Lobby in Missoula, so we're going to have a much closer Hobby Lobby, which will be fun. All right, continuing. Quoting again from the paranoid surveillance guy. It says, Kahn and others say that the elf is teaching kids the wrong thing when it comes to privacy and that tradition normalizes surveillance by conditioning children to passively accept being watched all the time by an authority figure. We have an omnipotent God, an omnipotent, omnipresent God, an omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God, a God who is everywhere and sees everything and knows everything. God is watching everything. You know, don't be worried. I mean, now I am anti-surveillance state. Now I really don't have problems with you know, like in London where they got cameras in all the public areas. It has made crime detection and crime fighting easier. Now, it borders on police state, and as Charlton Heston said, and to paraphrase him in the movie A Touch of Evil, you know, police work isn't easy. Police work isn't supposed to be easy. Police work is only easy in a police state. And so police state tactics do make police work easier. But I have no problem with cameras on the streets because, quite frankly, you have no, there's no expectation of privacy if you're out in public. So I have no problem with that. But this idea that, you know, don't passively accept being watched at all times by an authority figure. You are being watched at all times by the ultimate authority figure who is observing not only your actions, but your thoughts. The most wicked thought of your mind is laid out before God. As Ray Comfort always says in his Are You a Good Person presentation, you know, what if God recorded, you know, what if somebody recorded every thought you had for a week and then played it on the big screen at the local theater? Wouldn't that be embarrassing? Would you want everybody to know what you're thinking? And if you're honest, you wouldn't. I certainly wouldn't. But God knows what you're thinking every minute of every day. And there is no escaping that. So, you know, being passively accepting, being watched at all times by an authority figure is, something you should be aware of. Shouldn't be traumatic to you, but it's something you should be aware of. He continues and says, no one should be looking at you in your bedroom without consent. There is a cost to normalizing surveillance, even in the most adorable ways. I don't want to be the first one to take Santa Claus to court for invasion of privacy, but consent matters and having privacy matters. So, yeah, you know, just an interesting article that should we ban the elf on a shelf? There's a level of paranoia there that, and I'm, like I said, I'm not against a hyper-surveillance police state by any means. And yes, I think often we are bordering on that, especially now with vaccine passports and all of that silliness, that, we are bordering on police state. And some areas have crossed over into police state over all of this. But I don't think elf on the shelf is a problem in that regard. As I said, there are other issues with the elf on the shelf. And the other thing I want to talk about this morning is some of the things that we commonly get wrong about the Christmas story. We all know the Christmas story, and we've seen the Christmas plays with the little kids in their bathrobes with towels wrapped around their heads, pretending to be the shepherds and all of that. We do what we do, right? But there's some common things in those Christmas pageants that really aren't what the Christmas story tells us. And for too many of us, we have the image from the pageants in our mind, not the scriptures. So let's talk about just a few of those things. The first thing is there was no innkeeper because there was no inn. The innkeeper who tells Mary and Joseph no when they try to get a room for the night at the Bethlehem Motel 6 is one of the most common characters in our Christmas plays. And the problem is there were no Bethlehem Motel 6s. There were no inns in the sense that we think of an inn. You couldn't go rent a room for the night someplace. You could, but you would rent a room from a family in a home. Now, with everything that was going on in Bethlehem, and in the whole area where Caesar had ordered everyone to go to their hometowns to be counted for tax purposes. All of these towns were becoming crowded. But you would be staying with relatives. You're going to your hometown. You're going to places where you have aunts, uncles, cousins, brothers, sisters, whoever else. And so Mary and Joseph would have been staying with Joseph's family. And the room, the word inn, it's translated inn in a lot of our English translations, is actually the word for guest room. Not a public accommodation, but a private guest room, which was probably crowded. And when you look at the architecture of these first century homes, there would be a upper room area where the family would spend the night and where guests would spend the night, one or two rooms on the second level of the house. The main floor of the house was the area that was used for everyday living, the cooking, all of that took place on the ground level, and that was where you would sit and eat and whatever. But in that downstairs area would be the animals would be brought in at night to keep them safe. And so that lower level area would have a manger. But Jesus wasn't born in a barn. He was born in a family home in the downstairs area, not in the upstairs area. And the upstairs area was crowded, and so guests were starting to stay downstairs as well. And a manger would have made a handy crib. But he wasn't born in a barn. And in fact, because the guests were staying on both levels of the house, because everything was crowded, the animals were probably kept somewhere else, tied up outside or something. So, the idea of a donkey with his nose in the manger sniffing the baby Jesus, as is seen in so many nativity scenes, is probably not accurate. It probably wasn't a nasty, dirty barn. It was a corner of the downstairs area, probably as that would afford as much privacy for the birth as possible. So the evil innkeeper did not exist, and Jesus was not born in a barn. The other thing is the wise men weren't there that night. The wise men didn't show up until Jesus was at least a year old, probably, between 1 and 2 years old, based upon the age of children, which Herod ordered slaughtered. So they were not there the night of Jesus' birth. Now, the shepherds were there because the angels had appeared to the shepherds, but the wise men weren't. And the interesting thing about the angels appearing to the shepherds is the angels didn't sing. Nope, the angels didn't sing. We read in Luke, in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." So they weren't singing. They were saying. There's some debate among theologians about whether or not angels sing at all. There's an idea that I don't think we can be dogmatic about, but there's an idea that music is intrinsically human. But there are accounts of the saved singing in heaven, but whether angels join in? We don't know. That's an interesting thought. So that's a whole idea of thought that can have you scratching your head at night. But the angels didn't sing on Christmas when they appeared to the shepherds. They were saying. Now, there were a lot of them. And I think it's easy for us to imagine a choir singing, especially because those words have been set to song so often in our history, so that we all, you know, all know the glory to God in the highest, and all of that has been set to music. And so we think of the chorus of angels, and we sing, you know, hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Maybe hark the herald angels say is hard to rhyme with. Sing rhymes with king, works, great lyric. We'll go with that. But according to the scripture, the angels didn't sing. We also don't know how many wise men there were. Bible doesn't say there were three. The assumption is that there were three because there were three gifts. But scripture doesn't say. We know from Matthew 2 that there was enough, at least the party that accompanied them was sizable enough to be noticeable in Jerusalem, that everybody was puzzling as to these visitors from the east, probably from the Iraq-Iran area, probably Babylonians, Persians, probably influenced in their knowledge that the king was coming from the stories of Daniel, who had been, of course, in the Babylonian government and was a very influential man. He had been in both the Babylonian and the Persian governments, was well known to to King Nebuchadnezzar and then to Darius the Mede and Cyrus. Daniel had much influence in the cultures of ancient Iraq and Iran, in the Babylonian and Persian cultures. So these wise men were probably, perhaps even disciples, not directly of Daniel. It had been, 400 years, 500 years since Daniel. 586, so 600 years since Daniel. So obviously these were not students of Daniel, but they could have been students of Daniel in a historic sense, that they were influenced by Daniel. We don't know, but that they could have been worshipers of the one true God. We certainly know, it's interesting, there was... Peter wrote at least one of his letters from Babylon. There was a sizable Jewish group still there because not everybody returned to Jerusalem after the Babylonian exile. You had, at the time of Christ, you had Jewish communities all throughout the Roman Empire, and that included in the East. So these men were, They could have been worshipers of the one true God. Probably were, probably not Jewish, but they could have been. So all of this is speculation. We don't know how many they were. We don't know exactly who they were. We have that great song, "We Three Kings of Orient Are." Which is a great song, but it's not scriptural. We don't know that they were kings. They probably weren't. There's no mention of them being royalty. They were wise men who came from the east. Who they were exactly, we don't know. But their visit was significant because they came from foreign lands to recognize the birth of the king. And That was another sign of who Jesus was and who Jesus is. All right, well, let's get to our prayer time and then into our Bible reading. We are going to be reading Luke 2 today from the King James. That section of Luke 2 that I just read was the Legacy Standard Bible. But we are going to be reading Luke 2 today from the King James because Christmas can't go by without that majestic poetry that began with William Tyndale and was carried on into the King James Bible. It just a majestic use of the English language in that translation. And it's interesting. There are three things that conspired together to bring us the English language that we speak today. And those three things were the King James Bible, Shakespeare's plays, and Cranmer's Book of Common Prayer. Those three things, two of them Christian, shaped the English language like nothing else. And we constantly pepper our speech each day with phrases from all three of them, often without even realizing it. Because the idioms and the expressions that are contained in those three great works of English literature have shaped our language so strongly. But, all right, well, let's then go to the Book of Common Prayer and offer up our prayers to God. O Lord, our Governor, whose glory fills all the world, we commend this nation to your merciful care, that we may be guided by your providence and dwell secure in your peace. Grant to the President of the United States and to the governors of the 50 states and to all in authority wisdom and strength to know and to do your will. Fill them with the love of truth and righteousness and make them continually mindful of their calling to serve this people in reverent obedience to you through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scripture to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And so now, turning to our scriptures, opening my Accordance app, and going to Luke chapter 2, and switching translations to the King James. Okay. So much. I do like electronics. It's handy. So Luke chapter 2 from the King James. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that, while they were there, The days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us go now, even unto Bethlehem, to see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe laying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things. Excuse me. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. This is the word of the Lord. I thank you for being with me again on this Christmas Eve morning. I hope you have a wonderful Christmas weekend. I hope if you have a chance, join me again for Squirrel Chatter tomorrow morning as we do a Christmas special edition. And again, a programming note, after tomorrow's episode, I am taking next week off. So our next episode will be the first week in January, as we begin to work our way through the entire Bible in the Legacy Standard Bible using the 5-day reading program, which is linked in the show notes if you want to get yourself a copy and follow along. If you're a Patreon supporter of the 5-day reading program, people, you can download your 2022 Bible reading plan now. If you are not, it will be available free on Sunday, the 26th, the day after Christmas. So it is done. It's ready. And you'll be able to download it Sunday if that is your wish. And you can get it and you can follow it along. And hopefully you can join us all next year as we read through the scriptures. Always a profitable endeavor, reading through the scriptures. Learn something new every time I do it. And I have been endeavoring to read through the Bible once a year, every year, for well over a decade now. I find it to be profitable. And you will too, because this is how God speaks to us, is in his scriptures. As you go through your day, remember to do the things you ought to do. Don't do the things you ought not to do. Whatever you do, do it unto the glory of the Lord. Merry Christmas. God bless. We'll see you again soon.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.